want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program here on Monday. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Spend Monday through Friday with you. Welcome to the week of the fall offering here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And I believe the goal is to raise $35,000 for operational expenses and improvements. I was just talking to Paul and asking if he was getting any feedback on their enhancements here over the past few weeks that they made to the signal. And he said it's all been positive. And that's made possible to your generous gifts and love offerings. And so we thank you for supporting WMIE 91.5, Today's Modern Worship. We also have a rebroadcast, 1510 a.m., 10:30 of a morning on WWBC AM if you happen to miss the 8:30 broadcast here on WMIE. Want to start off today by saying thank you to Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Whatever your block or concrete work needs might be, give Greg a call there. They've got decades of experience. And you know, that can be something that people lean on, but if you've got bad experience is not good. They have great experience. They really do an excellent job. They're called upon to go work all over Central Florida because of their expertise. And so I just want to encourage you that if you are considering a renovation project or home, maybe you want to pour, as I've seen some people have a boat slab or an RV slab poured, they can help with that. Block work, concrete work, all of that. They know all of the specs, all of the codes, and they know the suppliers as well. They can get it scheduled. They can get it done for you in a timely manner, and you will be glad that you called them. And so 321-536-5804, Jits Concrete, they will be a blessing to you as they have been to Merritt Assembly of God. I want to say thank you to Steve Hoag. I want to say thank you to the support team, my family and staff at Merritt Assembly of God. I had a revival scheduled, and with my pastor that I grew up under being promoted to heaven at 93 years old, I was out of town over the weekend to be at his funeral. You know, if we were in a larger city in Oklahoma, they may have more flights available, but I was not able to get back and actually I will be flying back later today. So, be getting back tonight, but I am blessed to be a part of Merritt Assembly of God. I was blessed to be asked to take part in the funeral to honor my pastor, and they just told me over and over again how important and special I was to him, and I kept it reiterating how important and special he was to me. And so it's been a privilege to be a part of his life and to have him speak into my life, and but that meant that I was away for a revival that I've scheduled. I've never done that before, never had that happen. And so I just want to thank the team at Merritt Assembly of God, as well as Steve Hoag. And we're looking forward to great things ahead as God continues to move by his Spirit. So let's get into the Word of God today. We've got three passages of Scripture left and that I felt impressed to touch on as far as the Kingdom of God. And Whether that takes 2 days or three is yet to be seen yet. But I want to touch base with you today out of Luke, the 16th chapter. We're going to begin reading in verse number 9. A long time ago, someone had reiterated a statement that they had been told by someone else. And they said, you know, if you just keep hanging around the pond of salvation, sooner or later, you're going to fall in. That might not be a word for word quote, but that's the gist of the conversation that, you know, if you just keep hanging around, one of these days you're going to make a misstep and you are going to fall into the kingdom of God. And so today I want to take you to Luke chapter 16, because I'm not 100% sure that scripture supports that statement that I just told you. I believe that coming into the kingdom of God is an intentional act. So let's look at verse number 9, Luke chapter 16, verse number 9. And it says this, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, many people stop there, but I believe that verse there flows into the context of verse number 14. "Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him, and he said to them, 'You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail." So we're going to end there. Here Jesus starts talking about being faithful in money and in the resources. And the Sunday before I left, so that would have been October the 7th, I preached a message, and if you go to meritassembly.com's webpage, you can see the Facebook broadcast of it. We upgraded our stand so that we can actually give you a little bit more of a panoramic view of the center part of the congregation. Anyway, you don't get to see everybody in the church, but you get to see a few folks. And so the title of my message that day was, "Does God Trust Us? Does God Trust Us?" And one of the things that God wants to entrust to us is faithfulness in the area of finances. It is very important. It says here, if we have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? See, many things that we go through are a qualifier or a disqualifier. They are a test to see what is going on in our heart, not because God doesn't know what's in our heart, but so that we know what is in our heart. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And so Jesus starts talking, and he says, "The way that you handle financial resources demonstrates the level of trust, the level of faithfulness that you have, and it allows me to entrust true riches into your hand." Robert Morris talks about his daughters, and when they're all grown and married now, but he said, "At one point in time, one of my daughters was hanging out with a group of her friends, and they said, 'Well, I mean, your dad is so concerned about tithes and offerings that I bet he checks the giving records of anybody who wants to date you.'" And then he paused in his presentation, and he said, I do, and I did. And his daughter told them, well, he does. He absolutely does. And he went on and explained, and he said, look, I consider my daughter one of the most valuable assets that has ever been entrusted to me, not as a piece of property, but as an entrustment from God. And why would I want to entrust her into the hands of some guy if he's demonstrated unfaithfulness in his finances? Why would I want to entrust such great spiritual wealth as my daughter into the hands of an unfaithful man? You see, children are an inheritance from the Lord. They are a gift from God. It is about time that we esteemed them the way that God values them and recognize that they are true spiritual wealth. My daughters are true spiritual wealth. My son is true spiritual wealth. My grandchildren are true spiritual wealth. My wife, true spiritual wealth. And so I want to demonstrate faithfulness in the small things, because I want to be entrusted with whatever riches God has in store. And I'm not talking financing. So he goes on and he says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve two masters. And so he concludes this teaching here. And believe me, this statement, even though we haven't mentioned the kingdom of God yet in this passage, it has everything to do with the kingdom of God. He says, you cannot have two kings, if you will. You cannot have two masters. You have to choose who you are going to serve. And then it goes to the Pharisees. Now, you need to realize that there were Pharisees and there were Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in the supernatural. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in God. They did not believe in visions. They would be on the liberal theological persuasion of things, because they just discounted anything that was supernatural. If you couldn't see it, it didn't exist. Then on the other side, you had the Pharisees, who believed in the resurrection. They believed in the supernatural, but they were so legalistic that they disqualified themselves, not because of what they didn't believe in, but they didn't believe it was going to happen in their lifetime. Those were the two extents. Those were the two extremes that people fell into. And Jesus comes along, and right now he's going to deal with the Pharisees. He dealt with the Sadducees as well. And then that group, you might have scribes and lawyers and the Sanhedrin and the high priest, and many of those people were in one of these two camps. Right now, he's going to deal with the Pharisees. You know, when God wants to deal with you, you need to pay attention to what he's dealing with in your life. And don't just blow it off, because God's never wrong. Okay? So this is what he says. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money. Let me just give you a little bit, rather than reading this all over again, let me just give you a few of the descriptions that are used of the Pharisees. They are the audience to which this statement about the kingdom of God is going to be made. He said they were lovers of money. Now, you've got to remember, he had just told them you cannot serve God and money at the same time. You will serve one or the other. One of them is going to have control of your time. One of them is going to have control of your thoughts. Which one is it going to be? And so he described the Pharisees as lovers of money. In verse number 14, it says that their mindset towards Jesus was they derided him. They derided him. They looked down upon him. They were in constant disapproval of anything that was going on. They were looking for ways to ensnare him. They were looking for ways to kill him. They thought that they were the ones that established the boundaries. They had the wrong mindset about the king. They thought the king was there at their pleasure, not realizing that the king was there And they were the ones that were supposed to be making the changes about the kingdom of God. Okay? God is the only individual in the entire universe that doesn't change because there's never been need for improvement in him. The covenant, the new covenant, was established not because there was a deficiency on God's part, there was a deficiency on man's part. And so God said, I tell you what, I'm going to redo this covenant, and I'm going to put more of the responsibility on me. I'm going to fulfill it myself in my son Jesus. Not only did they have the wrong mindset towards God, they also had this theme in their life that they were going to justify themselves. Well, yeah, I did this, but what about this person over here? You know, there's the story about the man who goes in the temple to pray, and God, I want to thank you that I'm not like this other person over here. Meanwhile, that other person was praying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It is not whether I can justify myself. It is whether I am justified by God. Justification is not a political position. Justification is not a personal endorsement of my own behavior. Justification comes when God says that I am righteous and just in his sight. And many people who justify their own behavior tend to do it from the mindset of the end justifies the means. And that is not the case. We are living in a day and time right now where there is all sorts of justification for bad behavior. You see it in Washington, justification of bad behavior because of who made the suggestion, who's trying to get something done, who's standing in a way. Everybody wants to justify bad behavior. God doesn't justify bad behavior. God forgives sin. And so the Pharisees wanted to justify themselves in the eyes of men, but it being just in the eyes of men is not the equivalent of being just in the eyes of God. Big, big difference. Because God knows our hearts. And it said, but God knows your hearts, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So what Jesus was saying, a lot of the stuff that you're doing that you think represents God well, you are actually an abomination to me. I hear a lot of things that get propagated as a spiritual mindset, and my response is many times, well, that's not biblical. It just doesn't line up with the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it doesn't line up with the heart of God. And so I don't care what kind of spiritual contortions you go into. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. So Jesus says this in verse number 16, the law and the prophets were until John. John was Jesus' cousin. It was John the Baptist. He goes on and he says, John was 6 months older than Jesus, by the way. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Since John came, the kingdom of God was being preached. And I believe we should make sure that the kingdom of God is what we are proclaiming on a regular basis. And he says, because there has been a new message that has been going forth, there has been a new attitude in the hearts of the people, and that is they were no longer feeling disqualified to be children of God. They are now realizing that the kingdom of God's message is an invitation for them to come into the kingdom of God, and it is like, the only thing I can liken it to is people lining up to go to a concert, and it's general seating, and it's first come, first serve, and everybody is standing outside the doors, and they open the doors, and everybody is making a run for the kingdom. That's really the mindset that Jesus has in store for you and I. It should not be laborious trying to get people to come to the house of God. It should not be something that require high motivation. It's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not a church building, but it is the church, the body of Christ. And people, Jesus fully expects that the mindset for us in our day was the same mindset as the publicans and sinners and the prostitutes and the downcast and all the afflicted that had in that day. And that is, man, I want in that kingdom because it is such a better kingdom than what we have. And so it says the response that people have is they are pressing into it. That Greek word is pronounced something like biazo, something like that. The definition, and believe me, I'm no Greek scholar. I'm no Hebrew scholar. I just have a concordance and I know how to read. Okay. And so the definition means to force or to crowd oneself into, to seize or to suffer violence. So to press into, to force, or to crowd oneself into. There is nothing passive about what Jesus is describing here in verse number 16. He said, everyone in the kingdom of God is there because they are pressing into the kingdom of God. They are there because they have made a conscious decision that what God has to offer is what they want in their life, and they are abandoning the things that were behind to press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus had taken hold of them. So several years ago, I made a phone call and I got a person's voicemail, and the voicemail said this: go out and make it a great day. Go out and make it a great day. Today, I want to encourage you. The kingdom of God is a right now kingdom. It is a Monday, October the 15th kingdom. And many people are going to sit back and passively await and see what the day holds for them. And there are going to be others and say, you know what? God has kingdom blessings and kingdom provisions for us, and I want in that kingdom. They're going to force themselves into the Word of God. They are going to press into their prayer closet. They are going to crowd themselves in to a worship environment where they're going to see the King enthroned on the praises that they have to offer. So press in today. Press in. My son has two dogs, a mom and a son. The mom's getting on up there a little bit, and so whenever we would go over to their house, and right now we're watching the male dog, the son, we're watching. But whenever we'd go over, the mama would come over here, and you got to remember that mama was a pup in our household, and so she holds a special place in our hearts. And so I always look for opportunities to just pet her and let her know, you know, how special she is to us. And her son is a lot more rambunctious, a lot more energetic, a lot more forceful. And if he sees that someone is experiencing some compassion or some expressions of love, he's not going to sit idly by. He's going to come over there and he's going to force himself into the situation. And so it's a good thing I've got two hands, and every once in a while my daughter's dog is in the mix. And so there's just this rotation of dog bodies moving in and out, forcing their way underneath where one of my hands is. And listen, if a dog is willing to do that for a pat on the back, how much more so should the children of God be forcing their way in to the blessings that God has? I want to take you to to one more passage real quick, and it's in Matthew chapter 11. This is exactly the same word, exactly the same word. And it says this, assuredly, verse number 11, this is Matthew 11:11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Or the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and people are pressing their way into it. You know, one of the things that we have to do is take a safety course, crowd management control. The fire department mandates that takes place. And they always talk about these situations where there was catastrophe that was breaking out, and a church has got to make sure that they are able, that everybody's able to get out. And most of the time, what they demonstrate is not failure at a church level, but failure at a nightclub level. But we're classified in the same group, places of assembly. And so they want to make sure that wherever people are trying to force themselves, that they have access to force themselves. Well, I want you to know today that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door. He is the great shepherd. And today, he has blessings for you. He has made the kingdom of God available to you. And there is no one that is listening to the sound of my voice that is unable to respond to this gracious and glorious invitation that Jesus has made available for us to become part of his glorious kingdom. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. But if you're just sitting around waiting for something good to happen, I want you to know Jesus has already done everything that is necessary to provide salvation for you and I. Right now, he is preparing for our eternity. I mean, think about how glorious that's going to be. Don't just sit idly by. If you have never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, don't just keep wandering around thinking one day, well, I'll just fall into it one day. Say, today is the day of my salvation. And so if you're here today, why don't you force your way into the kingdom of God? Say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. God, I love you, and I want to be a part of your glorious kingdom. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life, and help me to experience all the kingdom you have for me. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.